everybody. Welcome back to Boozy Bracketology, the show of strong drinks, strong opinions, and crowning champions. And this month, we are focused on crowning a champion to find the most dominant athlete post-1980. And I couldn't do that without my panelists here. We're going to start from one of our guests from the Bench Warmers Trivia Podcast. Eric, my friend, how are you doing and what are you drinking?
I am doing great. First bracket of this went awesome. And hopefully this will go well. And for this, I'm actually drinking a, I don't even know who makes this. It's in my glass. I threw away the can already. It's kind of nasty. I like sours, but not this one. And it's a raspberry sour. So sours, and I enjoy raspberry. I figured, why not give it a shot? And it's called like Monkey Boodle or something weird. I don't know. Yeah, it's not fun.
I like raspberry sours. That's really disappointing to me.
Not a lot of raspberry in it. It's more sour than anything.
About as disappointing as an Alex Gonzalez shortstop play in the playoffs. We're going to move along. Thank you, Mike.
Jesus. Ouch. Ouch.
I'm a Cubs fan. What can I say? It wasn't Bartman's fault.
At least Gonzalez didn't blame Bartman.
A goddamn garage ball. This doesn't happen. All right. We're done. We're done. Jeff, my friend, how you doing? What are you drinking?
I'm doing all right. And I'm drinking the West Coast Hazy IPA from R&D Brewing right here in Raleighwood, North Carolina. Solid beer, solid podcast. Let's move on.
Well, cheers, my friend. I'll be seeing you this weekend where I'm sure we'll be having maybe some beers, but definitely some bourbon.
Definitely some bourbon.
Definitely some bourbon. All right, we're going over to Fayetteville, North Carolina. Tim, from the home of the ACC, my friend, how you doing and what are you drinking?
Screw the ACC.
I think you have to kick you out of the state now. Sorry.
That's fine.
We're gonna pick you up and we're gonna put you at south of the border and say fend for yourself.
Nah, I'd head north to Ohio.
That's funny because everyone else from Ohio is literally in Florida right now. So go enjoy your state.
That's fair. I am drinking, actually, based on what it looked like you were drinking. We have flipped towns with our beers. Because I am drinking a Cigar City Brewing High Ally IPA.
Oh, the High Ally is good. It's a good IPA.
Yeah, it's a solid one. And it looks like you're drinking one from my neck of the woods.
I am. So, Tim, this is a little inside baseball or inside miscellaneous, whatever you want to call it. On our drive back from Rhode Island to Florida, we stopped in Fayetteville and got to have dinner and, ironically, I know you're all shocked by this, but drinks with Tim.
It was a great time.
It was a really good time. It was a great time. It was a damn great time. Got to meet a friend of mine that I had never met in person before, which is awesome. But we went to a place called Dirtbag Ales, and I'm not an IPA guy. Like, y'all know this. I'm not an IPA guy, but, like, legitimately, I am a dirtbag. We had a chance to get some of their beers, and one of the beers I fell in love with, and I'm not an IPA guy, but this is called the Dirt Black Impossibly Bad, The Dirt Bag Impossibly Black IPA. This is, without a doubt, the best IPA I think I've ever had. It is that good because it's not as hoppy as an IPA. It drinks like a cross between an IPA and a porter because it's that black, but it's delicious.
It is a solid IPA.
It is. I actually brought one back. I gave one to Lauren Carey, so we'll see what she has to say about it as well in an upcoming episode of Herf Show. But neither here nor there, Tim. It was good to meet you, my friend. We're moving on to Los Angeles, California. Again, from the Bench Warmers Trivia Podcast. Scott, my friend, how you doing? What are you drinking?
I am doing well, thank you. I'm excited to for the next round here. The first one was a lot of fun. I think this one's going to get a little bit more intense and a little bit more interesting, so we'll see what happens. I'm drinking a Truly Lime because just like my taste in TV shows, inside I'm a 22-year-old sorority girl. So,
for those of you that don't know, he's got the body to pull it off. Like, legit, he's stacked, so... Good on you, my friend. How'd the move go, by the way? I know you recently reloaded from New York to LA. How'd that move go for you?
5 days in, and honestly, I'm surprised with how smoothly it went. I'm so just so happy that it wasn't as stressful as I thought, and I'm excited to be on this time change now and not be able to sleep anymore. So yeah, there's that.
Hey, you know what? I've never heard a single person complain about living in LA unless they're driving. So you're going to be in good place. You're going to be in good hands.
That's right. I love it here.
All right. Well, speaking of being in good, I can't say that. We're going to Huntsville, Alabama. Where they build rockets and shit. Mike, my friend, how you doing? What are you drinking?
I am doing well, Chris. I'm doing well. So we got a bunch of dudes sitting around here discussing sports. I figured I better bring the pastryarchy. They have a new, it's from DeClaw Brewing. I've had several of, it's a series of beers. They call them the pastryarchy. I've had several of them on the podcast before, either here or Pub Trivia Experience. I grab them whenever I see them. This is edition number 18. It is the Root Beer Float Imperial Brown Ale. These are basically dessert beers, and they're fantastic.
Oh, there's that pop.
All right, let's see how this is. Okay, that tastes like a root beer float. Holy shit. That is good. That's really good. Yeah, it's an Imperial Brown Ale brewed with vanilla bean. Oh, man, that's dangerously good.
I need to start drinking some of these. I'm off my beer cleanse now. I'm ready to start drinking. I'm ready to start having some more craft beer. That sounds delicious.
I think you'd really like it.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're out of the baseball round. So like my opinions now are very, very, very minimal. I don't care is what I'm really saying. We are in to the bottom half of the left side of our bracket. This is the miscellaneous round, and this might be the most contentious round yet. These are athletes that don't fit into the big three sports. So no baseball, no football, no basketball. This is literally everybody else. And we're going to start with our play-in game. And we're talking about dominant athletes. Your play-in game is literally going to be for the 16 seed, Ronda Rousey versus Tony Hawk. My God, this is going to be competitive. We're starting it off with Eric.
I think that's the best way to put it. It's so just completely different. Ronda Rousey was insanely dominant, but I feel like it's because she was the only one. And as soon as everyone caught up to her, she was no longer as dominant as she appeared to be in the beginning. Tony Hawk, I feel, invented skateboarding. You ask anybody about skateboarding, the first person they're probably going to tell you, at least starting maybe 1990, would be Tony Hawk. I feel like it's not close for that fact that, you know, he did it for 20 years, retired in like early 2000s. He's got a video game series that's been going for probably just as long. My vote here is Tony Hawk.
Tony Hawk picks up his first vote. Unfortunately, what is perhaps the most protected wrestler since John Cena is down 0-1. We're bringing the next vote to Jeff.
Yeah, Eric, you said it. I number one don't really enjoy fighting sports. It's just not my thing. But yeah, Tony Hawk invented a sport. Like the man maybe wasn't the first ever skateboarder, but he was the first skateboarder you've heard of. So Ronda Rousey might not have been the first kicky, punchy, fighty MMA woman you've heard of, but I don't even know what the fuck sport she plays. So give it to Tony Hawk. Give my vote to Tony Hawk. Fine.
Well, as Ronda goes around the back of Jeff for a rear naked choke, we're moving the next vote over to Tim.
On the one hand, you have somebody who changed the sport that they competed in. And on the other, you have somebody who isn't even the most dominant in their sport. I don't think Ronda Rousey is the most dominant female MMA fighter. She was for a while. But Tony Hawk changed skateboarding. Tony Hawk, as of 4 months ago, still landed a 900 for the final time. He retired the trick in March of 2021, a trick that he was the first to land. This isn't even close. I don't even know. Tony Hawk is underseeded at a 16 seed, let alone deserving of a play-in game. This is Tony Hawk all the way.
Tony Hawk picks up his second vote. The next vote goes over. No.
Third vote.
I know. I can count. I can count. I just didn't do a little tally mark. I'm sorry. Tony Hawk's moving on to the next round, but let's hear from Scott.
I made this bracket, and I agree with Tim that Tony Hawk doesn't deserve to be a 16 seed. So that tells you a little bit about this bracket coming up, and here's the hook to keep listening if you were thinking about just listening to the play-in and then not, and then just kind of going on to something else. No, keep listening, because if Tony Hawk's a 16 seed, you can kind of see where this is going. I mean, this is Tony Hawk. Before Tony Hawk, skateboarding was like a thing that kids with no friends did in my neighborhood. Like, oh, there's Jesse again with his skateboard because he doesn't have any friends. Like, it wasn't cool. And then all of a sudden Tony Hawk did it and everybody wanted to skateboard and everybody wanted to play the video game and everybody wanted to watch the X Games, and he literally put a sport on the map. Ronda Rousey was very dominant. It's not a sport that I pay much attention to, but I know that she was very dominant. She got a lot of endorsement deals and she was all over the place for, you know, a 3 to 4 year span. And, you know, for the sake of having some diversity on the bracket here, which we'll see going forward, and having some female athletes on here, I wanted to get her on here. But this is Tony Hawk. No hands down. I'm sorry. Hands down.
No hands down. Tony Hawk.
Actually, that is how he skates. So I guess, you know,
that's true. Mike, you're up. What are we going with?
Well, since I busted out the patriarchy, I mean, I can't vote for Ronda Rousey, right? No, I agree with what everybody said. Like most people said, I wasn't a big MMA. Wasn't something I followed a lot, but I knew the name Ronda Rousey, so I knew that she excelled at that sport. But yeah, Tony Hawk is the reason that skateboarding reached the popularity that it did, because the things that he did were and continues to do, as Tim pointed out, he did that 900. I knew it was recent. I didn't realize it was that recent, but he hit his final 900 and then retired it. But and he's 50 years old and he still does that. It's unreal. So yes, give Tony Hawk the sweep. And we'll see how he does against the next round.
Now for the 16 seed, Tony Hawk is going to sweep his way into the next round. Unfortunately, the man did show up and applied whatever wrestling move the man applied to Ronda Rousey. I'm sorry. I don't know what Becky Lynch's finisher is. I apologize. Scott, can you help me out here? No?
Yeah, it's a submission move.
I figured it's a submission. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like an armbar.
The Fujiwara armbar has been applied to Ronda Rousey. She is tapping her life out. And we are moving along. Unfortunately, Tony has landed a 900. He's got to land a 2,000 to see if he can upset the number one overall seed. We have Tony Hawk, the 16 seed, taking on the one seed of Wayne, the great one, Gretzky. And we're going to start this one off with Jeff.
Oh, man. Everything that everyone said about Tony Hawk is totally true. But, I mean, 894 goals, people. Even if he played in an era where goalies wore like paper thin protectors and couldn't stop a wet tissue paper from getting past the goal line, 894 goals is freaking amazing. I don't think that will ever get beaten. I think, you know, Ovechkin's got like the most outside shot ever to beat him, but come on, man. You were terrified of Gretzky. Everyone was terrified of Gretzky. The man could score like crazy. You got to give it to him.
Gretzky picks up his first vote. Tim, what do you think?
I toiled over this one a lot longer than you would think a 1 for 16 should be toiled over. Because as we talked about against Rousey, Tony Hawk is skateboarding. He is hands down the most dominant in his sport. But at the same time, it's Wayne Gretzky. And I have long said that hockey is the greatest sport on this planet. And he is arguably, or inarguably, the greatest. The great, I mean, he's a great one. So if this had been locked up already for one way or the other, I probably would have cast my vote for Tony Hawk. But I can't even on a 1-16, I can't risk a money ball. It's Wayne Gretzky for me.
For those of you playing the Boozy Bracketology drinking game, that means you're taking a drink for a mention of Moneyball. Mike is taking a drink. I will too. The Great One has his second vote. We're going over to Scott.
You know, I don't really follow hockey. Eric will tell you that. You know, if you've ever listened to an episode of Benchwarmers Trivia Podcast, definitely not my strong suit. But it's really hard to deny that just the pure dominance that was Wayne Gretzky, right? I mean, there's so many just incredible stats and incredible facts about how dominant he was. I mean, I love the one about the brothers, right? Him and his brother have the most goals combined by a set of brothers in NHL history. And his brother has like 4 goals. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, just the stats that you see with Wayne Gretzky. I'm similar to Tim, though. It's not a runaway for me. I mean, yeah, Tony Hawk is skateboarding. I mean, you know, you can Gordie Howe, Mario Lemieux, Hull. Like, there are other hockey players that were very, very dominant, that were, you know, almost larger than the sport at times. You know, Ovechkin, if you want to put him in there. And that's not even, I mean, some goalies too, I suppose. Whereas Tony Hawk is the sport. So there is that, and he's got that going for him. But you don't get a nickname like the Great One, you know, for just being mediocre. So my vote has to go for Gretzky.
Wayne Gretzky.
If you want to put him in there, Scott, he's 6th all time and still going. Sorry, I'm a Caps fan. I've got to defend my boy's honor here.
Fair enough.
You'll get your chance to talk about Alex Ovechkin later, I promise you. Wayne Gretzky has another vote. We're bringing the next vote over to Mike.
Yeah, I don't have a whole lot to add here. Scott brought up the brother statistics, which is one of the two that I was going to bring up. The other one that always cracks me up with Gretzky is Jeff mentioned the 894 goals. If you take those away, he's still the career leader in points in the NHL because he just had that many assists. He's the great, again, they said it, he's the Great One. He is so identified with being that player in hockey that it is hard. And again, no denying that Tony Hawk really is skateboarding, but there's also no denying that Gretzky just dominated that sport for the years that he played. So Wayne Gretzky.
Gretzky has yet another vote. Eric, do we have a sweep?
No. I'm a huge hockey fan. It's what I enjoy watching the most. And I believe, Jeff, you touched on a little bit. Watching those, he was great, yeah, but watching those highlights back then, the goalies couldn't even stay on their feet. It looked like me playing pickup hockey in the driveway with my friends. I mean, you were afraid of the puck. He was great, but my hill that I will die on to this day, as I will always say this, is that Mario Lemieux was better than Wayne Gretzky. That's what I say. That's what I will always say. And with that, Tony Hawk is his sport. I don't think there was anybody better than him. I'm going to go Tony Hawk just to be that guy on the other side.
Well, as the entire nation of Canada unfollows the Benchwarmers Trivia Podcast, Tony Hawk picks up his first and only vote. The Great One is moving on, and we are moving on. Next up, you have your 8-9 matchup. The 8 seed, Roger Federer. The 9 seed, the singularly named Ronaldo. Oh, God help us, we're starting with Tim.
Of course we would be starting with me in a matchup of two people that I just don't care about. So I'm going to go ahead and cast my vote for Tony Hawk here. Because Tony Hawk really should have been probably in the, looking at this, 5, 6, somewhere between 5 and 9 seeds. I don't follow these sports.
Thank you for the air quotes.
At all. So I'm going to go with Roger Federer here and just pass.
Well, Federer has picked up his first vote. The next vote goes to Scott.
One of these sports I enjoy, I play and I watch and I enjoy it. The other sport is possibly my least favorite sport. I'm not going to let that factor into my decision, but I'm still voting for Roger Federer. And I'm going to base that on the fact that tennis is an individual sport. Soccer is not. So take that as you will. My vote's for Roger Federer.
Roger Federer picks up another vote. We're bringing the next pick over to Mike.
You know, I hate to decide it based on this, but I have to. My mother-in-law adores Roger Federer. She's already decided that my daughter is going to marry one of his twin sons because they're about the same age. I was sharing this bracket with my wife, Nikki, and she threatened me with extreme bodily harm if I did not put Roger Federer at least past the first round. I thought about it for a second because I'm not entirely sure I wouldn't kind of be into that. But no, I've got to vote for Roger Federer here just for familial reasons.
As I look up a dominatrix for Mike, we're bringing the next pick over to Eric.
Which Ronaldo are we talking about first?
The Brazilian
two.
One.
The Brazilian
There's
one.
Two of them.
Yeah.
I think it could be either one and he'd still lose.
Not the rapist. It's not the rapist.
Yeah. So, I mean, just for that, Roger Federer was tennis for a while. I mean, Nadal did, I guess, catch him recently. But I don't think it's close. I mean, I'm not familiar with this Ronaldo as much as I am Federer. So for that reason alone, I got to go Roger Federer.
Now, Federer's picked up yet another vote. We're bringing the last vote over to Jeff.
Look, I'm not sure how we get a bracket with two boxers and an MMA fighter and only one soccer player, but whatever. I got to give my vote to Ronaldo just to throw out something for Football Nation here, man. This is difficult for us. But yeah, as Scott pointed out, soccer is not an individual sport. It's really hard to be individually dominant as a soccer player, but Ronaldo was one of the few that kind of managed. Like the guy who, whenever the ball was at his feet, you were terrified. You figured he'd score a goal, but it was must see television whenever he had the ball. And he may not even be the most dominant Brazilian soccer player of this particular era, you know, depending on how you feel about Marta, but for getting as close as he could to individual dominance as is possible on a soccer pitch, I've got to give it to Ronaldo. But no, obviously that doesn't matter right now.
Unfortunately, it does not, as Roger Federer is moving on to the round of 32. And this is why we have a soccer fan on the show. We are moving on. In what many will consider a somewhat controversial pick, you're going to have your 5 seed of Floyd Money Mayweather taking on the 12 seed Lance Armstrong. This is going to be interesting, and we're starting it off we're starting this off with Scott.
This one's interesting, right? Because, you know, back to the baseball episode, obviously we touched on a lot of controversial topics and how much we're going to weigh that against the voting and the success of the athletes. And obviously Lance Armstrong falls into that category. If this is before we knew everything, this is a different conversation, and he might even be higher up in the seating, you know, if that. So let's take that into consideration. I mean, he was, like Tony Hawk was skateboarding, Lance Armstrong was cycling, like that, the hands down, that was it, you know. And then he had the cancer story to go with it, and the Livestrong bracelets, and not only was he dominant in the sport, but he just kind of dominated the media for a little while there as well. So there was a dominance there. However, Floyd Mayweather, again, in you know, a combat sport where it's a little bit more difficult, I think, to be dominant when you're just fighting. Like, you could just come up against someone who's a better fighter than you, you get knocked out, and then guess what? You're not dominant anymore. Whereas in cycling, it's like, what? Okay, maybe you fell off your bike and that's why you lost. I mean, I just think it's a lot harder to be as dominant in a one-on-one combat sport and do it the way that Floyd Mayweather has done it with the undefeated streak. And he is very, very must-watch. I mean, even still to this day, you know, if he has a fight, it's selling out wherever it is. And it's you know, big pay-per-view numbers and huge streams, and everybody wants to watch it. So that is a different type of dominance, not just what he does in the ring, but what he does outside of it as well, leading up to his fights. So this one, it is tough, but obviously, you know, given the controversy with Lance Armstrong, I am going to cast my vote for Floyd Mayweather.
Now, Floyd Mayweather somehow seems to avoid contact more than Barry Sanders, as he has his first vote. Sorry, unbiased host here. We're moving on to Mike.
You know, I looked at this matchup and I thought to myself, well, only one of these guys was in the cinematic masterpiece that is Dodgeball, in a scene that plays way different now that we know everything about that. Yeah, Scott said a lot of what I wanted to say about Lance Armstrong. You know, he did dominate the media cycle and the cycle, the bicycle, for that period of time. It was a tremendous story, and it's really unfortunate that it got tarnished the way it did. But I'm kind of not a big guy, and I got to throw one to the little guy. I got to throw it to Floyd Mayweather. That dude is great. He dominated boxing during his career. I think he had 50 fights and never lost, and across several different weight classes. I mean, I think pound for pound, there's a lot of people that would say he's the greatest ever, certainly in the conversation. So I got to give it to Floyd Mayweather here.
Rocky Marciano might beg to differ, but we're going to keep moving along.
Said one of.
Eric, you're up.
He's 50-0.
That's okay, he is.
Reason
okay.
Enough. That's it. Has not lost. Lance Armstrong has lost. Not much to say other than that. Granted it's boxing, but Floyd Mayweather, I believe, is one of the few athletes to make $1 billion in their career. That alone sounds pretty dominant to me. So I don't think this is close. I don't think, my opinion on this, Lance Armstrong should have been on here, but he is. So he's out in the first. Floyd Mayweather.
Now, Money Mayweather has picked up another vote. The next vote goes over to Jeff.
And I promised a rant here, and here it is. So we're in the middle of the Olympics while we're filming this, but then we don't know who's going to win the medal count. You know, you listeners probably already know who will, but one thing is probably for certain. When you look at the five most populous nations on Earth, only two of them will be anywhere near the top. India, Indonesia, and Pakistan will not have anywhere close to as many medals as China and the United States. Why? Is it because India, Indonesia, and Pakistan just don't have as many naturally gifted athletes? No, of course fucking not. You know, one could argue that Sachin Tendulkar could be on this list because he's such a dominant cricketer. But the reason here, and Chris, I can see your exasperation. I'm getting to the point.
I'm shocked that we had a cricket conversation on this podcast.
The point here is China and the United States invest heavily in training and giving support to athletes, and especially Olympic athletes, in the way that India, Pakistan, and Indonesia do not. That is a man-made advantage for every American and Chinese athlete. You cannot argue with that. That advantage is not inborn. It is not some sort of an inherent talented, not some sort of discussion of inherent talent. It is the fact that China and the United States have the infrastructure to cultivate that talent, and those other three nations do not. What does that have to do with this matchup? Well, we castigate Lance Armstrong for giving himself and every other cyclist that was there at that time. Remember, Jan Ulrich was doping like crazy too. Everyone was doping in cycling during the late 90s and early 2000s. We castigate them for giving themselves a man-made advantage, an artificial advantage. Well, how does that differ from the artificial advantage we're all apparently okay with giving Chinese and American athletes over these other athletes from these poorer and less invested countries? How does that differ from the genetic advantages? Sometimes we think they're okay, sometimes we don't. We actually forced Caster Semenya to dope to decrease her inborn advantage because we thought it was unfair. Come on, people. This whole thing about performance-enhancing drugs, you cannot think of a way in which this is not arbitrary. It is completely arbitrary that we decide to ring up Lance Armstrong or Barry Bonds or whoever for juicing or what have you, when every athlete everywhere is looking for some edge here and there, and they're getting it from places that are sometimes legal and sometimes not, and that's just because someone who decided to write a rule made this a rule. You know, we kicked someone out of the Olympics for smoking marijuana, for God's sake. This is an absolutely absurd conversation that we have around these performance-enhancing drugs, because it's not like they're a magic bullet. It's not like Lance Armstrong wasn't already an unbelievably talented cyclist, someone capable of winning seven Tour de France's or however the fuck many Tour de France's he won, without doping, had everyone else not been doping as well. I just cannot discredit someone for taking those slight advantages, those little, scientific advantages that are granted to someone, whether it's a world-class training program or a sleek swimsuit like Michael Phelps had, or a little bit of blood doping. Is it all cheating? Yeah, based on some various arbitrary rules, some of that's cheating and some of that isn't. But ask Caster Semenya how those rules work out for you, even if you're just being yourself and trying to run. So give my vote to Lance Armstrong here, because I think the whole PED debate is just a giant load of bullshit. And until we figure out some way to actually measure perfectly talent on talent, and I just don't think that's ever going to happen, the slight edge given by the current PEDs that you can actually use is just not worth even arguing about.
And with that, Lance Armstrong picks up his first vote. The last vote goes to Tim.
I'm not going to keep people waiting. I don't care. I'm not a big fighting sports guy. I don't care. But you know what else I don't care about is cycling. If this was the baseball bracket and Lance Armstrong was up against a bunch of guys who had already been getting that asterisk for doping, this might be a different story. But in the other bracket, you don't have half the players having that asterisk already. So I got to give it to Floyd Mayweather.
Money Mayweather picks up his fourth vote. He is moving on to the round of 32. And we are moving on to your 4 versus 13 matchup. Your 4 seed is Serena Williams. Your 13 seed is Dale Earnhardt Sr. And we are starting this off with Mike. Oh, Mike, you got bit by the mute bug, you son of a bitch.
I don't even know why I was muted. Because I haven't been muting myself the whole time. That's funny. Okay, so for longtime listeners of the Boozy Bracketology, during the sports movie bracket, I went on record as saying that I don't really consider car racing a sport. And I was telling that to my buddy Aaron when he came to visit a couple weeks ago, and he says, he went on record, he said, "You're a moron, and that's a stupid distinction to make." And honestly, he's probably right. But my point is, I know nothing about car racing. I don't have any interest in watching people drive cars when I can go out and drive my own car. But that said, I can look up the history, and I can see that Dale Earnhardt had a hell of a run in the early 90s. He finished first in the NASCAR Cup 4 times out of 5 years. That, to me, seems pretty damn dominant. But you know what else is dominant? Being ranked number one in the frickin' world at your sport for over 300 weeks. And that's Serena Williams. She won 23 Grand Slams, which is more than Roger Federer has, more than Rafael Nadal. Granted, you know, obviously, women's tennis versus men's tennis, blah, 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 blah. I'm not trying to take anything away from Dale Earnhardt. Certainly a hell of a driver. And honestly, unfortunately, given the tragedy of how he died, he might end up having the greater legacy. But I think if you're talking in terms of pure dominance in here, I think you got to give this one to Serena Williams.
Serena picks up her first vote. We're bringing the next vote over to Eric.
I agree with pretty much everything Mike just said there. I mean, auto racing's, I mean, it's a skill. I don't consider it, you know, a sport. I don't consider them athletes, to be honest. I mean, it's sorry for whoever that offends, but Serena Williams, what, 23 Grand Slams? Didn't she have like a calendar Grand Slam? Like, it was just, it, not even close in my book. Serena Williams was tennis, when women's tennis for a while, and even just tennis overall for a long time. So it has to be her.
Serena has her second vote. The next pick goes to Jeff.
Yeah, this is not even close, people. Serena is dominant in a way that very few people ever have been. I'd be surprised if she doesn't go really far in this bracket. Just because of that. I'm hesitant to say a bad word about Dale Earnhardt, and you know the only reason I would plausibly vote for Dale Earnhardt is because if you badmouth Dale Earnhardt in North Carolina, a bunch of good old boys throw you into the back of a pickup truck and drop you off in Emporia and say good luck. But nah, good old boys, come and get me. I'm voting for Serena here. Move her on.
Serena has another vote. We're bringing the next pick over to Tim.
Yeah, like Jeff said, I live in the heart of NASCAR country. Raise hell, praise Serena. if you were to ask anybody to name a tennis player, the first person out of most people's mouths would be Serena Williams. Might be Venus. They might just say Venus and Serena. But Serena is right there, right on the tip of their tongue as soon as you do it. Before most of the guys who play the sport. Serena is arguably one of the most dominant tennis players of all time, in either gender. And while I'll still remember my dad telling me Dale Earnhardt died, I kind of went, who? Cause I never cared about NASCAR. I had a brief period where I enjoyed it, like 2010 to 2012, after Dale died. So it's Serena.
Serena has picked up yet another vote. Scott, what do you think?
One thing I would always do growing up, I mean, for, I don't know, probably the first 20 years of my life, is different times of the year when certain events were going on, you throw on SportsCenter. You know, because you don't really watch it, but you want to know who won and things of such. And there were a few instances with some of the athletes we'll talk about later. And then a few, like, every time the Tour de France came around, it was like, well, Lance Armstrong is going to win. Not paying attention to it. Don't have to. You can ask me tomorrow who won. I'll say Lance Armstrong. That's how confident I am, because it happens all the time. Same thing. Joey Chestnut, hot dog eating contest. I know he's going to win every year. I don't really pay attention to it. And then the other one is anytime there was a tennis major or any sort of Grand Slam, any sort of competition on the women's side, for a long time it was like, all right, well, who's Serena going to beat? Who's second place? Who's the runner up here? It was, you know, death taxes and Serena Williams wins a major. It was for a while. So, yeah, Serena Williams all the way.
Serena Williams has just been dominant so far in this bracket. And that is going to move her along with a sweep. We are moving along. This is going to be your 6-11 matchup. The 6 seed, Usain Bolt. The 11 seed, Jeff Gordon. Let's see if Jeff Gordon can get more. Maybe he gets a faster start than Dale Earnhardt. Dale Earnhardt did. We're starting off with Eric.
So just let me ask a question here. Is Usain Bolt's been in the Olympics 3 times, not counting this year. I don't know if he is in this year or not. No. So how many times has he not won gold? 0? He's silver? 0 silver medals, 0 bronze medals. They're all gold. World championships, I think 11 championships, maybe silver a couple times. He is in, like, just, he's the world's fastest man, and he's been that way for over 12 years now, 2008. I don't think it's close. I said what I said about auto racing. I'm not a fan, so this is Usain Bolt.
Usain Bolt has his first vote. The next vote is going to go to Jeff.
How the hell do you end up with the world's fastest man being named Bolt? I mean, did Disney write this shit? Like, there's like Charles Dickens or someone that was that just really into names that matched their careers. Yeah, unquestionably, Usain Bolt is the choice here. I don't know why NASCAR people hate Jeff Gordon so much, but they do. I think just moving to North Carolina, you kind of absorb Jeff Gordon hate. So I hate Jeff Gordon and don't know why, because I don't even care about NASCAR because it's boring. But there, I said it. I said it, North Carolina. I said it. Usain Bolt is fun as hell to watch. And yeah, give it to him.
That is Jeff Woodhead, who lives in Raleigh, North Carolina. ACC officials will be escorting him off of the premises here any minute now. While we wait for that, let's hear from Tim.
Yeah, I'm right there with Jeff. Jeff Gordon is not even the most dominant NASCAR racer, and yet somehow he is seated ahead of Dale Earnhardt. How is Jeff Gordon and his 4 championships ahead of Dale Earnhardt and his 7? How is Jimmy Johnson with his 6 championships not on this bracket? Like, if we're gonna throw a second NASCAR racer on here, and realistically, we shouldn't even have one because NASCAR is not a real sport. Why is Jeff Gordon an 11 seed ahead of Dale Earnhardt, Jimmy Johnson, Mark Martin, Kyle Busch, and any of these other guys? Get Jeff Gordon out of here. It's Usain Bolt.
And that is Tim Dipple, the host of the Hometown Crowd Sports Podcast. Locking in with Usain Bolt.
Tim, you and I can explore Emporia together after the good old boys drop us off over the border. Let's do it.
I might recommend, if you're going to go to south of the border, $2.35 rocks glasses, perfect for bourbon, and they do fit a nice cube of ice. Let's bring this one over. Oh, Scott, our bracket master, save me from this hell.
I think it's safe to say I won't be invited back on Hometown Crowd for their NASCAR episode, which upsets me for about, I'm over it, because it's NASCAR. Love you guys. Hope I can come back on, but I don't want to talk about NASCAR because I don't like it or pay attention to it either. I think Usain Bolt might be faster than Jeff Gordon in his car. Like, I would like to see that race, actually. That that's how you get people excited in about NASCAR. It's a boring sport. Well, have racers against racers, okay? Have Jeff Gordon in a race against Usain Bolt, and I promise you it gets more ratings than the Indy 500, the Daytona 500, any 500 or any 1000 or whatever it is they do. I promise you that gets more ratings. This is Usain Bolt.
Usain Bolt has, dare I say, bolted out to a humongous lead. Mike, what do you think?
Hey-oh. You know, not being a NASCAR fan, mentioned in the previous round, Jeff Gordon's inclusion still, when I saw it, made a weird amount of sense to me to speak to Tim's point, because I was a teenager in the mid-90s who watched a lot of SportsCenter. And you know what SportsCenter covered a lot of and who dominated? There's that word, SportsCenter. In the mid to late 90s is Jeff frickin' Gordon. He was everywhere. So from that sense, yeah, dominant. But come on. This is Usain Bolt here. The man has won nothing but gold in 3 straight Olympics. He's absurdly fast. It's and to Jeff's point, the kismet that was required to have the fastest human being that has ever existed have the last name Bolt, that's just amazing. You got to tip your hat to it. Usain Bolt.
Usain Bolt has earned the use of the word kismet, and we are moving along, as is Usain Bolt, to the round of 32. Your next matchup, we're going to start with Jeff here. Really? We're going to go with the 14 seed Alex Ovechkin versus the 7 seed Mr. Eldrick Tiger Woods. Jeff, with your, I'm assuming, controversial take, kick us off.
This was by far the hardest decision of the first round to make, and I don't know that I've even completely made it yet. Why couldn't he just put me first on the next one, which is the easiest of the entire first round to make? Seriously, guys, come on. Alex Ovechkin is scoring crazy amounts of goals in an era where it's set up for people to not score crazy amounts of goals. Eric alluded to this in the Wayne Gretzky part, and you know we discussed it earlier that the 80s and 90s were goalkeepers were almost naked out there. They had no padding. They were afraid of the puck, as Eric mentioned. Ovechkin's scoring goals like gangbusters in an era where goalies look like they're wearing those like crazy ass sumo puff suits that to stop the puck from going in. So Ovechkin clearly dominant, and of course I'm a Caps fan. I got to give him some credit for that. Tiger Woods, I'm also an avid golfer, and no one was more dominant on the golf course than Tiger Woods was. The only person to win 4 majors in a row ever. Fuck you, Bobby Jones. the US amateur, not a fucking major. Sorry. Someone who, until his career was derailed by injuries and or Ellen Norgren chasing with a 9-iron, it was someone who you could just go out there and say, oh, yeah, Tiger Woods probably won this one. Oh, it was like some dude named Dustin. Okay, fuck. That having been said, it's real tough to be dominant at golf. You know, golf is one of those sports where just the occasional little thing would throw you off, and you know, your one stroke over 4 days is the difference between winning and losing. It's an amazing sport in that way. I love Alex Ovechkin. I'm sorry, but I have to vote for Tiger Woods here because he achieved a level of dominance that is almost impossible to achieve in his particular sport. So sorry, Tiger's my choice.
As Jeff turns a shade that I can only describe as cardinal red over voting against Alex Ovechkin, cardinal red, because he went to Stanford, sir. He went to Stanford. Tim, you're up.
No, screw the Cardinals.
Cardinal. Singular. Tim, give me your opinion.
All right, this one's an easy one for me. Yes, I love hockey. Yes, I would argue that golf is not a real sport. But at the same time, Ovechkin is not the most dominant hockey player on this bracket. And you can at least make an argument that he's not the most dominant player of his era, because you still have Sidney Crosby that you at least have to make that argument against. Tiger Woods was dominant for way too long in golf. So I'm going to cast it for the non-sport athlete, non-athlete Tiger Woods.
Tiger Woods has yet another vote. We're bringing the next pick over to Scott.
So I was born in 1989.
God, I'm fucking
never old. Saw Caddyshack. Didn't watch Happy Gilmore when I was a kid. I don't know that I knew that golf existed until Tiger Woods put it on the map. We want to talk about people. I mean, obviously, golf was very, very popular, and you had your Jack Nicklaus's and your Arnold Palmers and, you know, your Bobby Joneses and all of those, you know, back in the day. Tiger Woods just eclipsed all of that. I mean, you want to talk about he was the one I was alluding to earlier when it's like, I don't need to pay attention to this competition because I already know who won. And Tiger falls into that category. And, you know, Mike mentioned Jeff Gordon dominating SportsCenter in the mid-90s, which also thank you, Mike, for justifying why I put him on the list. But, I mean, Tiger Woods was that from, like, 1998 until, like, I don't 2004. I mean, it was literally, you put on SportsCenter within 15 minutes, it was, you would see Tiger Woods. There didn't even have to be an event that week. And for some reason, Tiger was still relevant. And he dominated, even when he was controversial, he was dominating the headlines. Everything he does is, he dominates somehow, you know? Mike mentioned earlier that, you know, he might be into, the weird shit that Nikki's going to do to him. Guess what? Tiger Woods might be there too, because that's a form of domination. So my vote's for Tiger Woods because he dominates everything.
Well, I have interesting stuff to talk to Nikki about this weekend. Whew. All right. Tiger Woods is moving on to the next round, but I want to hear from everybody that does include, I'm assuming what we would call our submissive Mike. Mike, what do you think?
Oh, God, I hope Nikki never listens to this. This is where the miscellaneous bracket gets really interesting to me, because you have somebody who is a very good dominant player, but in a team sport setting, versus somebody who is a very dominant player in a individual setting. And I think that hurts Ovechkin a little bit, because as great of a player as he is, and it's not his fault, but in his whole career, I'm sorry, Jeff, I'm not trying to salt the wound here, but the Caps have only won one cup. And
not his fault.
I agree. That's my point. It's not his fault. And it doesn't that doesn't necessarily detract from how dominant he is, but it kind of maybe does a little bit. I don't know. These matchups are difficult when you're not comparing apples to apples. That's what makes this miscellaneous bracket so interesting, is all that I'm really saying. And all that else that I'm going to say is that kind of what everybody else has said. Tiger in his late 90s, early aughts heyday was unreal. He won those four majors in a row. He always won. That was what he did. It was news when Tiger Woods didn't win, and that is dominance. So I'm also voting for Tiger Woods.
Tiger Woods has yet another vote. We're bringing the last vote over to Eric.
So I guess I'm going to do this again. Ovechkin has been in the league since, 2000? Around 2008, okay. The Maurice Rocket Richard Trophy has been given out since about 1998. So of those 22 times that trophy has been given out, he's won it 9. Next closest person to him, Pavel Bure with 2. Crosby, again, Les Stamkos, all with 2. He is dominant. And my argument against Tiger Woods is not that he wasn't a dominant golfer. It's that who else was there? Who was close to him? it's easy to dominate a bunch of people if they're not, if there's no one else. It's much easier. So Ovechkin's going against Crosby, Stamkos, Rick Nash, all these players that are equally amazing, and he dominated them. Tiger Woods dominated John Daly, Vijay. I mean, come on. I don't know.
Phil Mickelson. Don't hate. No hate. No hate for Phil.
It's not hate. It's just he's not. Yeah, it's just golf. You can watch a golf tournament and just see a random guy's name at the top one week, and he was hot that week, and that's it. I don't know. My vote's for Ovechkin. I'm biased. I love hockey, but I love golf too, but hockey more so. So Ovechkin.
With that, Alex Ovechkin has a one vote, but we're going to move Tiger Woods on to the round of 32. And I would remind our listeners that while Ovechkin may have one Stanley Cup, Steven Stamkos has two, and they are back-to-back. Your Tampa Bay Lightning are once again your defending Stanley Cup champions.
Go Bolts!
As hard as this is to believe.
Stanley Cup playoffs are just a...
As hard as this is to believe, I live in Tampa. You will not believe this, but when I say this, I mean it. Tampa is literally lightning country. As good as the Rays are and as good as the Bucks are, this city lives and breathes lightning hockey. It runs this town. No joke. It does. Joke all you want about how ice doesn't melt in, how ice will melt in Florida. It fits perfectly good into hurricanes, perfectly good into our margaritas, into our rum runners, and it's perfectly fine on the floor at Amalie Arena where the Lightning dominate literally everyone they play. Neither here nor there, we're moving on. We are moving on.
Ice does fit well into hurricanes, Chris.
We haven't been hit by hurricanes since the 20s, sir. You can keep your mouth shut. We are moving on. This next matchup is actually going to be somewhat tough, in my opinion. We'll see what you all think. You've got the 10 seed Simone Biles taking on the 2 seed of Mike Tyson, and we are starting off with Tim.
I can't believe we live in a world in which Chris thinks he's a hockey town.
We live in Fayetteville, North Carolina, sir. How dare you?
No, no, bro. No, man. I am from Detroit. Well, Cleveland and Detroit.
Oh, I'm sorry. So, you're right. The Blue Red Jackets Wings are the pariahs of hockey. Give me your opinion, sir.
Let's not discuss the 2019 playoff first round there, Chris.
What happened in 2020, 2021, Mike? Tim, go ahead.
I will gladly give up my time to argue about Hockey Town because this is an easy one. This is Simone Biles. We're in the middle of the Olympics, so there may be a little bit of recency bias. Yes, the U.S. team is currently in second place in the gymnastics, but you know why? Because they handicapped Simone Biles. They told her there were things they couldn't that she couldn't do. They were too advanced. It's like telling Tony Hawk he can't do a 900 because nobody else can do it. Nobody else is doing what Simone Biles can do in her sport. This is Simone Biles, hands down.
Simone Biles has picked up her first vote. The next vote goes to Scott.
Even before he bit a man's ear, Mike Tyson was dominant, and people were afraid of him. Even before he actually physically harmed someone, you know, live in front of millions of people, he was feared. I mean, the guy was a knockout artist. Like you got in the ring with him and you literally had to sign a waiver, you know, and like sign, you know, fill out your will and make sure that all of your next of kin was in line because there was a chance you weren't going to make it out alive. That's dominant to me because the fear that he instilled in his opponents, and it was at a time too where the sport really needed it because it was in a lull, and all of a sudden Tyson came and he started knocking out everyone, and then he had his antics and he really brought the sport back to prominence. Simone Biles is, I mean, she's so dominant in the sport. And, you know, everyone thought that in 2012 that, you know, that team was so dominant and Gabby Douglas was like this all world great Olympian. And then Simone Biles came along and was like, guess what, Gabby? Like, everything you can do, I can do better. I can do it with more enthusiasm. I can do it with a bigger smile on my face. I can twist better. I can bend better. I can flip better. Everything. And she just eclipsed, I think, all expectations of what she had. And it's in a sport that is hard. Like, I've won some fights. I've punched some people. I'm not Mike Tyson, but I've won. But I'm never going to win a gymnastics competition. I can't bend like that, despite the beautiful body that Chris mentioned that I have earlier. Like, I can't bend like that. So the degree of difficulty for me is a lot higher in gymnastics, and Simone has just completely dominated it. So I'm going to vote for Simone Biles.
Well, he doesn't have a body like Keira Knightley, but he can, in fact, bend it like Beckham. Simone Biles is up 2-0. We're going on to Mike.
Well, I went right after Scott in the previous episode. I'm going right after Scott here, and I'll tell you the first thing that I have written down here, which is, ask Evander Holyfield's ear who is more dominant. which is a point that he made. I think that there is certainly an argument for Tyson here. He won almost every fight that he ever had, and he won the vast majority of them by knockout. As Scott said, he was a knockout artist, but he did bring back boxing back, you know, in a way it was kind of in a lull, but Simone Biles is otherworldly. I mean, she's won so many championships over the last decade that it's impossible to even keep track. And Tim made the great point about how they had to handicap her because she just does these things that are completely unreal. She is dominating gymnastics in a way that I don't know that I've ever seen before. So I'm going with Simone Biles as well.
Simone Biles has picked up. Wow. Her third vote to officially eliminate Mike Tyson. I'll remind our listeners and our panelists, because now that it doesn't matter my opinion, I'm not going to sway the vote one way or another. She was on the 2016 Olympic team with Michaela Maroney and Alexandria Reisman and was by far the most dominant athlete on that stage. And those two are not slouches when it comes to gymnastics. Simone Biles is that damn good. All right, I'm out. I'm done. We're moving on to Eric. What do you think, sir?
If we were talking about is video games, we can go to Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. Probably the hardest video game of all time, but we're not talking about that. I've never seen him in dominant form, so that probably might put him down a little lower to me. I've seen highlights of Mike Tyson, and it looks great, but the fights I've seen are the Evander Holyfield fight and those, you know, Peter McNeely and Clifford Etienne or whoever that other guy was. It just, you put any a scrub in the ring, yeah, you're going to dominate him. But he didn't dominate Holyfield, so that's what I see and that's what I remember. Simone Biles, like Tim said, she's handicapped, and it's crazy. Like, how can you tell somebody, yeah, you're not allowed to do that? Like, you're too good. You're too good. So it makes no sense. So with that said, when she has a video game, it'll probably be harder than Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. Simone Biles.
Simone Biles has another vote. Jeff, take us home.
Yeah, I mean, this can't even be close. You know, we're what, about 10 hours out from the Women's All-Around Championship here. Do you know the last time Simone Biles lost a women's all around championship? Just, you know, throwing this out there to the field. Let's play a little trivia on our boozy bracketology. You know the last time she won? She's lost one?
I'm guessing never.
Never.
Yeah, that is correct. She has never lost. She's been competing in this shit since 2013. She won in 2013 through the Rio Olympics 2016. Took a break in 2017, I guess, just to let someone else have a chance. And then decided to come back and be like, nope, all right, screw all y'all, I'm winning the rest of this. How dominant is she? I watched her in qualifying. She fell off the floor during her floor routine. She didn't even land her vault cleanly. She didn't land in the lane. She landed off the lane. She almost fell off the goddamn balance beam. And she qualified in first place, despite all of that. That's incredible! Like, how do you make... You're so good that you can even make a couple of, like, serious mistakes that would sink anybody else's routine and be so far ahead of the competition that the person in second is actually closer to sixth than they are to you. Yes, this isn't even close. Simone Biles gets the sweep.
You know what? 5-0 Simone Biles has taken out Mike Tyson. That is one KO punch that Evander Holyfield's ear did not see coming. We're moving on to our last pick of the evening, and we are starting this pick off. Oh, God help us with our bracket master, Scott. Scott, you get to choose from the 2-seed Michael Phelps, the 15-seed Shaun White. Lock in your vote, sir.
In complete transparency here, I didn't have Shaun White on this bracket. I didn't want Shaun White on this bracket. And when this bracket was reviewed, one of the recommendations was to have Shaun White on this bracket. I don't think he should be on this bracket. This is Michael Phelps, 100%. Move on.
And short, sweet, and to the point, Michael Phelps has picked up his first vote. Let's go to Mike.
I mean, there's a little bit of an argument that Shaun White is kind of to snowboarding what Tony Hawk is to skateboarding in a much, much, much lesser sense. But no, when I think of Michael Phelps, I think of Mark Spitz. Because Mark Spitz in 1972 won 7 gold medals. And he did it, and to his credit, he did it while sporting an incredible 1970s mustache. But that record stood for 30 years, and then Michael Phelps obliterated it in Beijing when he won 8. And then he went on to win like 20 more medals. Michael Phelps was absolutely dominant in swimming. So with apologies to Shaun White, yeah, this is Michael Phelps.
Eric, you're up.
This is no contest. This is not even worth discussing. Shaun White, he's a great snowboarder. Michael Phelps is probably the greatest Olympian of all time. Michael Phelps.
Phelps has his third vote. He's moving on to the round of 32, but I want to hear from everybody. That does include Jeff.
Yeah, this second round matchup between Michael Phelps and Simone Biles is going to be real interesting, folks. Real interesting. And I got to question the seeding that put Simone Biles that low, because what the hell? Because, yeah, I mean, Caleb Dressel may make us all look like idiots in a few years or so, but for now, yeah, Michael Phelps is the obvious choice here.
Phelps has his fourth vote. Will it be a sweep? Tim, you tell me.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could make an argument both that Shaun White should be seated higher and that he should not be on this bracket at all. I think you'd be legitimate in making that argument, but regardless of where he is, he doesn't hold a candle to Michael Phelps. And I'm still mad that Shaun White is ahead of Tony Hawk, who is more dominant at skateboarding, a more popular sport than Shaun White was to snowboarding. Yeah, this is Michael Phelps. I think there's probably some people that you could argue should be in this bracket instead of Shaun White. We've got 2 NASCAR guys and no Michael Schumacher, but we have Shaun White. So Shaun White doesn't stand a chance. This is Michael Phelps.
Michael Phelps has swept his way into the round of 32. So I forgot to do this last episode. I'll do it here. Your round of 32 matchup from the miscellaneous portion of the bracket is going to be absolutely insane. Wayne Gretzky versus Roger Federer. Serena Williams versus Floyd Money Mayweather. Usain Bolt versus Tiger Woods. And Simone Biles versus Michael Phelps. Guys, I'm hosting this for a reason, because I couldn't make these damn picks. It's going to be crazy. One of the things that I also forgot to do in our first episode, and I want to give our panelists a chance to tell you guys about their podcasts. We have a couple of our panelists that are from different shows that are legitimately good friends of the show. I want to start off with Scott and Eric. One of you two gentlemen, tell our listeners about the Benchwarmers Trivia Podcast.
Yeah, we, you know, a bunch of us banded together in 2020 when we were all locked down and decided we wanted to do a sports trivia podcast. So we came up with the Benchwarmers Sports Trivia Podcast. You know, it's a lot of fun. We've had a lot of guests on, a lot of them that you've heard here. Some of them have been victorious. Some of them have not. But I can guarantee you that the episodes with these gentlemen have definitely been some of my favorites. I definitely recommend listening to those. And then if you enjoy those, go and listen to the rest of them. You'll hear myself. You'll hear Eric. It's just a lot of fun. It's really been just the highlight of, you know, the past over a year now for me. And I think that reflects in our episode. So give us a listen. Benchwarmers Trivia Podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
I will second that. Go listen to the Benchwarmers Trivia Podcast, if for no other reason than I think, Mike, I think of all the records we've set in our history of the Pub Trivia Experience, we might have set the record for the longest recording ever of the Benchwarmers Trivia Podcast.
That is very likely true, and I also think that might be the most inebriated that I've ever been on any podcast recording.
I was gone.
I think you fell asleep.
I did not fall asleep. I did not fall asleep.
I think you fell asleep because then I intentionally brought up Snoop Minutes to wake you back up. And it revived you, like, shot right back up.
Lavernius Cole, sir. That recording, the final episode was like an hour and 10 minutes. That recording was literally 4 hours long.
4 hours. Oh, yeah.
How did Lavernius Cole's work into this shit?
Oh, you have to listen to
it. Oh, it came up. Leverenius.
Leverenius.
Mike and I are big fans of the Benchwarmers Trivia Podcast. We've been on there. It's a great time. It's a great show. Scott, Eric, and the gang do a phenomenal job. If you're into sports at all, like legitimately, like once you're done with this, go listen because you're going to have a good time.
For sure.
We have another podcast on here, the Hometown Crowd Podcast, based out of Fayetteville, North Carolina. And that is starring our host, our favorite host, Tim. Tim, tell our listeners about the Hometown Crowd Podcast.
Yeah, I mean, I've got two podcasts. The Hometown Crowd Podcast, we talk about sports across the country in our backyards of Fayetteville, North Carolina. We started out as a general just sports podcast across the board, but we're kind of on a break right now, having a new year. Newborn will do that to you, but we're working on restructuring into a football focused podcast because that's really where our passions lie in both pro and college football. But you can also find me when we come back on the Marital Tiffs podcast with my wife, Karen, where we just argue about the things that we just argue about in day to day life, you know, random shit like what's more influential, Star Wars or Harry Potter? Is Ohio or North Carolina truly the first in flight? You know, stuff like that. It's a lot of fun. So you can check both of those shows out, Hometown Crowd and Marital Tiffs.
I would recommend both of those shows. Leah and I have guests on Marital Tiffs. It's a really good time. I love, listen, one of the things I love about this podcasting community is getting to meet, honestly, good people from across the U.S., across the world. Hometown Crowd, Marital Tiffs, Benchwarmers Trivia Podcast, top-notch people, really good times. They put out great content, and they put a lot of time and a lot of effort into bringing you new content on a weekly basis, just like your friends here at the Boozy Bracketology Podcast and Pub Trivia Experience. I'm not even going to spend time telling you about our Patreon or all that fun stuff. We're going to go ahead and end it here. Ladies and gentlemen, for the Boozy Bracketology Podcast, I have been Chris.
I've been Eric.
I've been Jeff.
I've been Tim.
I've been Scott.
And I've been Mike.
We will see you next time as we delve into the third portion of our bracket in the round of 32. God help us, we're diving into basketball. Have a good one, everyone.